Howard Henry joins us after that Soxty score that we announced, a 41-0 loss at home to Sumter, and a very tough season for Soxty. They end 2-9, but as we've had several conversations with Howard this year, a tough situation or a tough hand for the Braves to be dealt in terms of youth inexperience and injuries. But tonight, Howard, what was Sumter doing that made them so dominant?
Well, here's the one thing I think puts it in perspective. They have more seniors on their football team than Soxty has football players on their whole team. So take that fact and then go, they're bigger, more athletic, and then they get fresher as they keep bringing those numbers in, and that's what happened. Not a short change of that is a very good football team. That defense is probably the best defense I've seen since I've been doing games. But they got the pure numbers. The score does not reflect how well they played over us. Our kids tried. I mean, they played hard. I am proud of our football team, but again, when you've got more seniors than we've got players, this could be a long night, and it was.
In terms of, I know 41-0, it's kind of hard to reach and find positives, but was there anything that stood out to you on the Braves side tonight and you thought that bodes well for the future?
Not necessarily from the game, but facts that we knew. You know, we've got a lot of kids coming up. We're not losing a lot. I mean, some of them. We'll miss the kids that we do lose, certainly not saying that, but a lot of these kids are young and coming back with a year under their belt. They'll be bigger. We'll get some more numbers and fresh blood. And the character was certainly there. I mean, Sumter's faster, bigger, and they got a lot more of them. Our kids didn't quit. And rarely did you see that throughout the year. So if anything from this game, it was the character. But what bodes well is just all these young guys who got thrown in the fire. They weren't ready. I mean, Coach Hilling talked about that in our interview. They weren't ready for varsity football. They're all we had. As you get fresh blood up, they come in and they are ready physically and they've got experience, you're going to be a better football team.
Now, last year Conway was 2-9 and 2-9 the year before. So being 2-9 doesn't necessarily mean that next year even Soxty is going to struggle or have a bad season. In terms of making a big step forward for Soxty football, what do you think there are some things that the Braves need to accomplish in the offseason?
Well, you've got to reestablish the culture. You know, the middle school coach, Mike Morris, is my color guy, and he's sending up 40 guys that he says is one of the best teams that he's had. So he's reloading it at that level, and that's probably much going to be your JV. JV had a 5-3 year, so you really got to change the culture and bring in that new talent and assimilate it well. And that's what good coaches do. I don't compare it to Conway. I couldn't understand why Conway was 2-9 when they were 2-9. I kind of understand it in our case. So we just got to get that young talent bigger, stronger, and the newer talent kind of assimilated in. We can do well next year. You know, that's certainly possible for them to do. That's high school football.
Absolutely. He is Howard Henry, the voice of the Soxty Braves. They close out their season losing to Sumter tonight. Soxty is 2-9 in the season, 1-4 in region play. Howard, really appreciate your help on the high school wrap-up show throughout the course of the season, and we do hope that you'll be calling games next year, a couple more in the win column, all right?
Lewis, I enjoy working with you, my friend. I am all on board for a few more W's next year. Hopefully we'll get them, and I will talk with you soon about other matters more positive than this game.
All righty. Sounds good. Appreciate it, my man.
Thank you.
All right. We continue now on the Jimmy Z Hibachi Hotline with the voice of the HTC Game of the Week on television. It is Alan Smothers. Alan, not a pretty game to call if you're a Carolina Forest Panther supporter, a 33-0 win for Conway. In terms of Conway's dominance tonight, what are some things that really stood out to you?
Well, first off, Carolina Forest was kind of its own worst enemy tonight. I mean, I'm not saying they would have won the game had they played more disciplined football, but they had like 15 penalties for 111 yards, what Ian Garin told me near the end of the game. And at every single time that they had a detrimental penalty, it was almost debilitating. I mean, it would wipe out a huge game by Diver Simmons, or it would wipe out, or it would give Conway, you know, new life in their drive. They got two big unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, and I know Coach Morris has just got to be spitting mad over some of those that just were undisciplined penalties. But Diver Simmons had a great game, as per usual. It's a different, I think, culture, and I know that's an overused term. Conway changed their culture this year. Carolina Forest improved their culture. Got a big win last week against the West Florence team. I think, and as you were talking to Aaron, when you talk to Ian, he probably will give you a better idea because he's got the spreadsheet in front of him. I don't have the spreadsheet.
Ian actually has the spreadsheet. He has it.
He does, yes.
Wow.
He has a spreadsheet.
I didn't know he was that important of an individual. I'll have to figure out from him how he was able to get his hands on that.
Well, he got with the Conway baseball coach, who is Chuck Jordan's mathematician. And Chuck, of course, is the chairman of the 4A football committee. And he's the one who, when they meet tomorrow in Columbia, he'll be the one that, sets it. I mean, it sets itself, but his spreadsheet guru will be a bracketologist. Can we call him a bracketologist?
That does sound better than spreadsheet guru, the bracketologist for the 4A playoff, sure.
Yeah, he's the 4A football bracketologist, and he will know. I think Carolina Forest is out, but I don't know. If Westwood needed to win to give them a half point because they needed a winning record that would have given them another half point, but who knows what the other teams needed. We know what Carolina Forest needed, but we don't know what the other teams at Carolina Forest are up against needed. So they got two out of three that they needed. But it'll be decided tomorrow. People just, need to stay tuned for that. But going back to the game itself, Jamain Martin he's fabulous. I mean, I love watching Jamain Martin run the football. I've told you this before. He's got legs like tree trunks, and he runs angry. He's such a passionate player, and so I just love watching him. And if Conway had Brian Edwards, they'd be a force in the playoffs. I promise you, they'd be a force. Without him, people are going to stack the box against Jamain Martin, and I think that they can get some help in other places, but they just don't have the same type of weapon that Brian is, because he's elusive, he's fast, his field vision is impeccable, and it's just a damn shame that his high school career got cut short, because he could have really made a name for himself. But he's still going to be a Gamecock. They say he's going to be ready for spring practice. So you haven't heard the last of Brian Edwards yet.
Oh, certainly not. Alan, I haven't been covering high school sports nearly as long as you have, but Edwards is by far the most impressive player that I have seen in football. I mean, the diverse skill set that he has, they can put him in the slot, they can put him on the outside, returning kicks. His hands are excellent, his size is excellent. Guy blocks well in running plays. And not only is he fast, but he just kind of has a smoothness to the way he operates. And it doesn't take you long to say, hey, that guy is different. And people get paid the big bucks to figure out who on Fridays are going to be good on Saturdays and who on Saturdays are going to be good on Sundays. And it doesn't take much to realize when you take a look at Brian that you don't need big bucks for that one, that he's just going to be good on Saturdays.
Yeah, well, I'll say this. I have covered high school football on the Grand Strand since 1989, and there's only been two players that I've seen that I could say were comparable or better than Brian Edwards, and one was Randy Sinclair, Brandon Sinclair's father, who was an absolute beast at running back at Socastee. He's the best running back I've ever seen, and the best quarterback I've ever seen is Everett Golson. When Everett was at Myrtle Beach, it was like he was playing a video game with everybody else on the field. and Brian was he's a close, I would say close second or third. I mean, that's 1A, 1B, 1C right there.
That's a heck of a list, though, and a testament to Mr. Edwards that he makes that list of yours. And as you mentioned, they believe he'll be ready for spring practice, and we don't know who any of his coaches are going to be, so we'll keep our fingers crossed that Mr. Tanner makes a good decision and Brian will end up having as good a college career as he did a high school career. Taking a look at the rest of the playoff setup and in this regular season in general, Alan, The 2A schools scores that got turned in today, Waccamaw and Mullins, Waccamaw holds on and could potentially get in. I guess we'll hear from Ian about that. And Loris actually getting drubbed at Marion 42-20 really surprised me.
Me too. I thought Loris would bounce back strong knowing that they needed the win to get in. And I don't know where they stand now as far as their standings in the league, but I hope Waccamaw gets in, and I hope Loris gets in too. But Marion had a good year. I was a little surprised by their season, to be quite honest with you. And but Conway, you know, I kind of feel for them going into the playoffs because they're, you know, teams are going to scout them, you know, well. And you know, if like it's exactly what Ashley said, if they can get, you know, more production from the wings in the passing game to make up. And it's like I said on the broadcast tonight, no one, no two, maybe even no three players make up for Brian Edwards. But if they can get one guy to play above his talent level or better than he has, and coach, you know, when I coached basketball, you know, Coach D'Antoni used to always say that when we lose a player, somebody will step up. Somebody will. And I believe that somebody will for Conway. But the problem is they're not Brian Edwards. And if they had Brian Edwards, they'd be a factor in the playoffs. I just don't know how big of a factor they're going to be in the even in the Division II playoffs because Burns is going to be in there with them and – I don't know who else might be in the lower state part of the bracket, or actually in the Division II part of the bracket. They don't have lower state and upper state like they do in the other divisions in 4A. But, I sure would like to have Brian Edwards in there. But who knows? Somebody will step up for Conway, and especially if they get that high seed, like Ashley said, I think that they might make a little bit of a run. So, you know, I'm just so happy for Chuck that he proved a lot of people wrong this year and turned it around. And 9-2 after a couple of 2-9 seasons, you know, people need to just hush and let Conway be Conway again.
Well said. He is Alan Smothers, voice of the HTC Game of the Week on TV. And Alan, before we let you go, does the HTC Game of the Week extend into the playoffs?
does not look like it at this point. We are still talking about it. We are going to do high school basketball, dependent upon when we start. We have a couple of irons in the fire. But the latest word that I have, it'll probably be Monday late before they make a decision, but the last word that I was given this evening was that it does not look like we're going to do playoff football. We wanted to, and we got Myrtle Beach at home next week. We have Conway at home the following week. So we'd like to do it, but just all I'd say is, like they always say, check your local listings on HTC4.
All right. Alan, as always, we appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Lewis. Good luck in your next gig, buddy.
Hey, really appreciate it. You and the rest of the folks that make the show easy, much appreciated. And unfortunately, good things do have to come to an end at some point. So I do appreciate that, Alan.
You're a good dude and a good broadcaster. Good
Thank
luck you. To you.
Much appreciated. We continue now on the Jimmy Z Hotline with the Sun News' Ian Guerin. First, a word for Jimmy Z. It's football season. If you find yourself hungry and don't want to leave the TV, let Jimmy Z Original Hibachi House deliver your favorite dish to your front door. Get your free delivery, piping hot off the grill, healthy, delicious, and generous portions. Everything is cooked to order. Full menu available at JimmyZHibachi.com or on Facebook. He is the bracketologist, or so we hope so, for high school football playoffs. Ian, the 4A situation is where we will start out. What is the latest?
The latest is that Conway is about a 96% chance of a host state game, and Carolina Forest is probably a coin flip at best right now. There's still two games next week in Class 4A that, you wouldn't think that four teams out of 52 would be able to, make a whole lot of an impact. But, you have a lot of teams there log-jammed at the bottom, hoping for a spot in the playoffs. And until all the points, can be added up, it's kind of guesswork at this point, especially when you have so many teams, fighting for just a handful of spots.
All right. Now, with the game that you saw tonight, a dominating performance, 33-0 for the Tigers, what are some things that stood out to you?
Well, I like the fact that, all year long, Jermaine Martin is a very talented running back. The kid's over 1,000 yards now in the season, but he has not been anywhere close to a focal point in probably 9 of their 11 games. He's been picking up yards, not to say that they don't need those yards, but they have been such a pass-heavy offense. To see him and Tyrone Bennett run the ball like they did tonight, Martin went for, I think, 137, Bennett went for 133, for them to be able to do that while, getting very few carries, these were the ground Chuck days of old, when Chuck Jordan was just a running coach, and that's what he did, and the passing was kind of a supplement. That's really what it looked like tonight. Peyton Derrick only had 10 pass attempts. So if you're able to beat a Big 16 opponent, it doesn't matter who they are, and you don't have to throw the ball to do it, you're doing something right. It means your offensive line is blocking. It means your running backs are holding on to the football, because if they're fumbling, they're not going to keep running the ball like that. So that's a positive for Conway heading into the playoffs, because something that Chuck and I talked about after the game is that there aren't any cupcakes in the 4A playoffs. Everybody earned their way in, and if you're, unless you're one of those elite special talents at the top, you're not going to have, a whole lot of easy, an easy time even in the first round.
Ian, have you ever, can you recall a situation where a running back went for north of 200 and the team was shut out in the same game?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, that's actually the second time this year maybe the Diverse went for 200-plus and didn't score a touchdown. And, he's one of the him and Peyton Derrick are, I believe, the only two players this year that have a touchdown in 10 ball games, or 9 ball games. So for them to do that, for them to run the ball so well, it was really kind of odd that he didn't get in the end zone, because you look down at the stat sheet and you see, even in the first half he had 98 yards. He had like 50 yards on the first drive, and then they just stopped throwing the ball or stopped running the ball, and they couldn't get in the end zone. They had another situation late in the game where he's running a wildcat package out of, you know, and they're on the 1 yard line, and the snap goes between his legs because it was low. I mean, it was just kind of that night where once they hit, you know, the Conway 25, 30 yard line, it just seemed like they were a different offense, and that Conway was playing better defense too.
How do you look at Carolina Forest season as a whole? Because it seems to me maddeningly inconsistent, but their caliber of opponents was pretty tremendous in a lot of these losses.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the story I wrote for this morning, you know, breaks down, you know, obviously it's not an opinion. These are facts. Their strength of schedule is off the charts. I mean, their point total is among the top 20 in Class 4A for a reason, despite the fact that they only have, you know, 5 wins. You know, their opponents' records and their opponents', you know, class division across the board is head and shoulders above Conway. That said, Conway won the games that it needed to win, and in this case, it was 9 of them to make sure that they're a home playoff team. Carolina Forest was badly inconsistent. You know, the only game you need to look at to really, you know, scratch your head about is that North Myrtle Beach loss, which is funny because we've had the same conversation about the Chiefs. You know, that's another 5-win team in Class 3A that's headed to the playoffs, but they're one of the last teams in, and as a result, they have to go play the number one team in the state. And really, it goes to show that as much potential as your team can have, you better have a whole lot of consistency too, because even if you do make it into the postseason, chances are you're not going to be around very long because you're going to get one of those really, really unfavorable matchups.
Now, Ian, taking a look at the 2A results today, Waccamaw hangs on to beat Mullins at home 24-22. Loras gets spanked on the road by Marion 42-20. Now, both of those teams end up being 2-3 in Region 8-2A. Do you have an idea if either will end up making the playoffs?
Well, one of the two local teams will have to because they need to have 4 playoff teams. Dillon will be 1. Marion will be 2, and then you're going to have 2 spots for 3 teams. And from my understanding, it goes to the defensive points allowed in the region. Now, going into tonight, and that was before Loras gave up, I think, what, 40, 42 points, something like that. Loras had a pretty strong advantage over Mullins and Waccamaw as far as, you know, points per game given up in region play. Everybody gave up a bunch to Dillon, so it's, you know, you don't have to worry about that too much. It's what you did against the other 3 opponents or 4 opponents in the region that are essentially going to determine which 2 out of those 3 teams are going to make the playoffs.
Yep, it was a 42-point performance that Marion hung on Loras, so that could perhaps be a difference maker, as that's a 20-point difference right there tonight between Loras and Waccamaw, but again, as you said, it depends on how big the lead was before tonight happened. Ian, in terms of Carolina Forest, do you expect to know at a certain point tonight or tomorrow whether or not the Panthers are in?
Well, you know, I think we're going to have a good guess. I mean, the story this morning, I mean, I think the big secret's out. Anthony Carroll at Conway is the man with the master spreadsheet. Obviously, again, nothing can be...
Now, Alan Smothers says that you have the spreadsheet, Ian. Can we confirm that?
Well, I do maybe possibly have a copy of that as well. But until those games next week, and like I said, it's not a situation where it possibly could affect it. It definitely will, because Blythewood and Spring Valley play next week, and those are 2 of those teams that are also 5- and 6-win teams, where it's all going to come down to how did their opponents stack up. Do they get an extra point because somebody at the last minute, you know, won a game and gave them a winning record, which is something that, you know, like we're talking about, Carolina Forest got help tonight from Darlington, which won its 6th game of the year, guaranteed itself a winning record. So Carolina Forest week 0 win over Darlington is now worth 4 points instead of 3. Well, when you're talking about a team having 33 points total, obviously 1 point is going to make a difference somewhere along the line. So, you know, again, we're going to have a good idea. We're going to be able to guess, but it's not going to be, you know, I wouldn't even say 75% sure, because Carolina Forest is part of that cluster of teams at the bottom that's going to be one of the last ones in or one of the first ones out.
He is Ian Garin of the Sun News, also MyrtleBeachOnline.com on Twitter at iGarin. That's Garin with a G-U-E-R-I-N. So if you're wondering any of these developments or whether Ian's going to mess around with the spreadsheets tonight, I would look on Twitter at iGarin.
I'm going to let the master handle that, and I'll take what he says. And before you let me go, I just want to tell you, I know you're moving to Houston and everything, but I can tell you this show has been extremely popular. The coaches love the experience and the exposure that you've helped give them, and I want to tell you that I've enjoyed it as well. You know, I can tell you on Friday nights, it doesn't matter what game I'm covering, whether it's a game of the week type thing or a clunker, I'm listening to your show, I'm getting roundups, and I've appreciated helping you out, and I've continued to do so over the last couple of years, because I respect what you do, and I hope all your listeners do as well.
Hey, Ian, I really appreciate it. That means a lot from someone in the business who does as good a job as you do. So always appreciate the kind words. And hopefully whoever takes up this mantle hosting Mr. Sparky's Friday Night Wrap-Up can continue to keep the high level that we've been able to create and keep going to guys like yourself for excellent interviews, because the person in the studio can't actually go to the game. So the greatest trick that I've pulled on all of you guys is outsourcing a massive percentage of my work. So for that, I thank you.
Well, it's good to be able to delegate, but I tell you what, you've done a really good job with the show, and I wish you nothing but the best in Houston.
I appreciate it, man. We'll have to see if we can get up before I leave town, but best of luck with the spreadsheet and figuring out how things shake out, and we will stay tuned to your Twitter and MyrtleBeachOnline.com to find things out.
Will do, man. Have a good night.